This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And I stand. I thought the Thunder lost this game, and you point out that the Pacers have been doing this to other teams, and therefore the Pacers won it.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think the Pacers are one of those teams that they just wear you down. And I think it's not even just all they do defensively. It's also how they play offensively. They move the ball so well. They play at such a fast pace. They challenge you in every single way. There is no taking breaks playing against the Pacers. And I think as games go on, as series go on, it gets a lot harder to beat them. I think that's why you saw the Pacers play their best game in Game 3.
So how did the Celtics kill this team last year in the
Well, people forget Tyrese Halliburton. So people forget the Pacers actually choked game one of that game. They should have won, and they threw a turnover in three, and a long story, the Celtics won that game. And then Halliburton got hurt in game two. He didn't play the rest of the series. So you're talking about a series that was a four-game sweep. And in those last two games, those were extremely competitive games without Tyrese Halliburton. I think that if the Pacers would have had Halliburton healthy for all of that series, you're seeing a much different series. I don't know if they beat the Celtics, but I think you're probably seeing a six-game series or so.
So why were the Pacers underdogs to the Knicks?
I think because people looked at what the Pacers did against the Knicks last season and saw that they beat a Knicks team that was hurt. They beat a team that was basically, you know, six guys healthy, and that was why I think that a lot of people thought the Pacers won that series. But the Knicks, in many ways, even though they were much better equipped to beat the Celtics, the team they built this year was not as well equipped to beat the Pacers, especially with how Tom Thibodeau was coaching them.
Okay. All that being said, you and many other people are still picking the Thunder to win the series, which I understand. It feels like a very home-road dependent series. If all that is true, then why are you not fully confident that the Pacers can continue to do this against OKC?
Great question, and here's why. Because I believe in the MVP, Mr. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And you know I've been a big Shai Gilgeous-Alexander guy.
Definitely.
And I think this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yes.
I'll be honest, I'm kind of tired of hearing about Mark Daigneault. Like, and I'm the first person who will crush an NBA head coach, and I'm not saying he's coaching a great series. He is not. But fourth quarter has to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander time. It cannot be Chet Holmgren time, and it cannot be Jalen Williams time. So when I see them fall apart the way they did in the fourth quarter, I'm looking at the star player, the MVP, the guy that I think is truly one of the best players, one of the elite players in the NBA. He can't let that happen. And I think that if they're going to win this series, he's got to be the best player in the series. I think he is, and I think that you'll see him. He's gonna pull them out of this. I really do believe that, because I think at the end of the day, the Pacers – don't have a guy on the other end who got to match him shot for shot, as great as Halliburton is late in games.
SGA, when he late in the fourth quarter traveled around the foul line, it was just, he looked lost. And I think one of the things that kills the Thunder is lack of passing the ball. They had 207 passes in game one. It was the lowest total, I think, the entire postseason of any team. Now, they're not a great passing ball. I saw at advanced stats, they're 25th in the league in getting as many passes in a game. They like to dribble. Now, usually they can get the pace going up and they can get forced turnovers and it's okay. They can make up for that. But last night, early in the game, There are times where SGA and Jalen Williams were trying to do it on themselves. And the thing is, you wear down when you do that. You need to move the ball. The Pacers, you said it just now, are moving the ball better. I think the Thunder have a lot of adjustments they will make. I think they need to use their bench more. I think SGA's got to pass the ball more and come back to the ball. I think they cannot dribble as much because the Pacers' eyes are getting big now. When that ball goes on the floor, they're like, oh, we're going to take it. Where in early in the series, the Thunder, they destroyed them by stealing the ball in game one and lost somehow. They won the turnover battle 25-7 and lost. I think the Thunder have a lot of adjustments here. That's why I'm with you. I think it's a long series. And I did put a bet on the Pacers. The odds still say Thunder easy. I think it's, you know, not to get into the betting weeds, but there's a lot of logic to take the Pacers now, but you still get good odds. Yeah. I think people are not convinced by the Pacers. I don't think I'm alone in this. I am surprised to see TJ McConnell sort of dominating energy-wise the Thunder. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but to do this to the Thunder, that's surprising to me. Like, the Oklahoma City Thunder go deep. They have 10 players. This is shocking that their bench, who was very, very good in game two, would all of a sudden totally fall apart and the coach would lose faith in them. I didn't see that coming.
But I think TJ doing it to their bench, is that part is not surprising to me. Because, the Thunder are a good team. They have a good bench. I don't look at their bench and say there are a bunch of all-stars on there. I think TJ McConnell, talent-wise, is perfectly fine against their backup guards. Like, I think Isaiah Joe
but they don't use Isaiah Joe anymore.
Right, I know, but like, he didn't even play. But like, that little time that they played, McConnell had a massive impact in that short time. So I saw
Andrew Wiggins be the best player on the court in game two.
Aaron Wiggins. Yeah, Aaron Wiggins is good. But again, these are guys who could have good games here or there. Like, they're good. I actually watch
Aaron Wiggins. I'm like, oh, that guy could be a $25 million a year player.
I love them coming out of Maryland. I think he's extremely underdrafted.
I think that they did not have enough faith in their bench last night. And you saw it also, just the loose balls. Like, where Thunder get loose balls. I've seen them do it all playoffs. No. And they just were watching it last night. Isaiah Hartenstein, who's a hustle guy, looked like his feet were stuck in the mud.
I think they've met their match. In many ways, I think they've met a team whose identity in many ways is very similar to theirs. And that's why this is going to be a challenge. In many ways, I think, had they faced the Knicks or had they faced the Cavs, like maybe it actually would have been an easier series because in some ways they can impose their will. The one thing about the Pacers that I've been saying all playoffs and why they scare me is it seems like regardless of who they play, they find a way to impose their will. Now, surprisingly, I actually think in the first two games they didn't. Like, I feel like the Thunder kind of dominated them in game one and then kind of just blew it late in the fourth quarter, and they dominated them in game two.
Yeah.
So this game was due. The question is this a sign of things to come? Like, this is just the beginning of the end, which, you know, for other teams, that's what it was. Or is this, okay, the Pacers got their game that they were expecting to have. Now the Thunder will make their adjustments and get their second win. I think that they will get their second win. They'll win the series. But again, there was no way this was going to be a cakewalk. It just wasn't.
Well, by the way, when you say impose their will, obviously the Thunder were leading most of the game. It was a close game, though. Yeah, it was a close game.
It was high scoring. Yeah. Like, to me, like, the
Thunder
Pacers,
starting lineup won that game. It was the bench
that got
killed.
Yeah, they were in the first
quarter,
but I think to me it was fast paced.
Yeah.
The Pacers, they had turnovers, but it wasn't crazy. It wasn't over the top. Yeah. I think they had 14 for the game. They kept the turnover battle kind of close. They didn't just throw the ball over the yard, and Tyrese Haliburton was aggressive, and he was forcing the issue. So to me, that's what I mean when they were imposing their will. It wasn't necessarily that they were blowing them out or winning the game, but they were playing Pacers basketball. The game was going to be very comfortable for them. So it was, again, not a surprise that they were going to be in the game if that was going to be the terms that the Thunder were going to play them on.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but the Oklahoma City Thunder starting lineup did very well. They all ended up with plus on the plus-minus side. It was the guys, Caruso had a minus 15, on the other side, TJ McConnell and Bennedict Mathurin were plus 15.
But I think it's to your point, though, because I think the one thing people keep saying is, again, someone tweeted this, shout out to Fred Katz from The Athletic, he tweeted, it's amazing that the Pacers can play with this maniacal effort constantly. And I'm like, well, when the players know they're not playing an astronomical amount of minutes for the 15, 20 minutes they're out there, they can give maximum effort. So
isn't that the Thunder's formula,
too? Well, no, I'm saying, but to your point, Degnault, he switched. Caruso can give you 20 maximum minutes. Asking Caruso to give you 35 maximum minutes may be too much.
Holmgren played too many minutes.
Yeah, Holmgren, asking him to play 40 minutes with that kind of pace maybe too much. So
that's because Isaiah Hartenstein didn't have it last night, which was strange too, because he'd been really good in this playoff.
Right,
strange game.
It becomes a matchup of tough decisions. Yeah. But you know what? Rick Carlisle, regardless of how his team is playing, is going to play the same minutes. The fact that Tyrese Haliburton still ended up with only about 32 minutes last night, even though I thought he was extremely effective, shows you again that he's not going to let the game dictate what he does. He's going to impose how they want to play on other teams, and now you're starting to see the fruits of that labor in game three.
Well, I'm not sure I totally agree with that, because I thought the Pacers' first unit looked like they were in danger of getting blown out until McConnell on the bench came into the game. And
right,
totally,
but Haliburton kind of kept them in it, because in the first quarter and third quarter, I think, you know, they only scored 20 points. That's how Proudbird had like six of them or seven. Like he was scoring.
It was definitely the bench that came in and just dominated.
But again, that goes to the point of they're gonna send waves at you regardless. So those guys, the starters didn't play well. Okay, we're not gonna panic and say, okay, you got a short rest and go back in there. Nope. Obi Toppin, you're playing your 27 minutes. McConnell, you're playing your 15. Bennett Matthews, you're playing your 20. And we're gonna let you guys do your thing. And those guys are coming out there and they're flying around because they got fresh legs.
Okay. Speaking of fresh legs, that's exactly why I'm not trading for Kevin Durant if I'm in your New York Knicks. Because it's funny, we're talking about this formula of going 8 or 9 deep like the Pacers, but NBA offseason is kicking into high gear. Yep. And Shams Charania, the ESPN insider, is reporting that there's going to be all these big trades. It seems to really be starting with Kevin Durant. Now, if the formula is to go 8 or 9 or 10 deep, a lot of these teams that are rumored to want Kevin Durant are going to have to gut some of their talent to get him from Phoenix. It's really interesting. There was a report yesterday, and the teams that express interest in Durant are the Rockets, the Spurs, the Heat, the Timberwolves, and your New York Knicks, EJ. Yep. I just worry for a lot of these teams, are you going to give up too much for a player that turns 37 very soon and has not been generally healthy through his 30s? I just worry that this feels like the kind of move where you think KD is going to take you over the top, but you get older and you get thinner. And I'm watching the NBA Finals, and there are all these bench guys coming running around. I don't know if that's a formula to win a title in the NBA anymore.
You know what's funny about Kevin Durant is I feel like if you're a team that's simply trying to get to the next level, to push yourself to maybe playoff contention or maybe become a more serious contender in the West or Eastern Conference, I think KD may be for you, because some of those teams may be holding on to young guys that we still don't know whether or not they're going to really come out to be the players you think they're going to be. I think if you're the T-Wolves or the Knicks, I would say massive caution if you think that this is going to be a piece to get you over the top, because Kevin Durant's someone who, despite his numbers, which are really good, I mean, he is still an extremely efficient, extremely talented offensive player. He has been brittle. And he has not been a guy that's really been impacting wins and losses in any major way. So to me, if you're one of those teams that says, well, this guy's going to get us over the top, we're going to sacrifice some of this depth in order to get KD, I think that could be a massive mistake. Now, if you're the Spurs, who you're a team that says we got all these picks and all these young guys who are still kind of a ways away, and Wembanyama, we want to maximize his time here and maybe show him a guy who can kind of show him the ropes of how to be a true champion, that may make sense. You're the Rockets, and you're saying, hey, look, we got knocked out of the first round despite a good regular season. Like, we want to show that we can push maybe to championship contention. Okay, maybe it would make sense. I don't think for these teams like the Knicks and T-Wolves, who were a couple wins away from going to the NBA Finals, those teams are a lot closer and further along to take all your pieces and put it into a Kevin Durant trade. Doesn't make sense to me.
I love one team in particular for KD, the Minnesota Timberwolves. If they can get rid of Gobert, if they could get rid of Julius Randle and bring in KD, yes, addition by subtraction. I know Randle played well in the postseason, but obviously, how do you stop the Minnesota Timberwolves? You put everything on Anthony Edwards. You can't do that when KD's on the court. So that's one fit for me. Also, they have older guys that they could get rid of. A lot of these teams, Houston and San Antonio, would have to give up with young talent that they really don't want to do. You don't want to give up, for example, San Antonio, the number two pick. If
there's no way that's going to be
Stephon Castle. Right. You don't want to give him up. Houston, I could give up Jalen Green personally, but you can't touch him and Thompson. So I like teams. I want to give up an old guy for him. And the Knicks could do this too. The Knicks are a little younger. Yeah. If I could give up an old guy whose contract I don't love for KD, then I'm in. So you kind of kind of had to try and fleece the Suns. Oh, man, if the T-Wolves could unload Rudy Gobert and his contract for Kevin Durant, I would not hesitate.
But I guess my question is, I give myself truth serum. As much as I love all these teams in the NBA and try to see who the next teams are coming up, if I give myself truth serum and say, are the Spurs with the piece they have right now, or the Rockets the piece they have now, are they really going to be serious title contenders in the next 3 years? I think my
A lot of serum, people think they will, though.
I know, but I think my truth serum says no.
Okay.
I think that they're still a little ways away. I think there are a lot. I think those teams are still figuring out who are the guys on this team that are actually good and guys that are going to be championship pieces. I think they're still figuring things out. That's why I'm saying, okay, I would be willing to take a little bit of a risk giving up maybe a few of those guys, or maybe just one of those guys and maybe just some draft capital to really kind of supercharge this thing and really allow my young stars to learn what it means to be a great player like Kevin Durant. Now, the one thing I would worry about with Kevin Durant, which is also why I really wouldn't want him, particularly on the Knicks, all that stuff on social media, that's like, that is toxic energy that I think only brings distractions, and I think will only be heightened when he's on a championship caliber team. I think in some ways it's kind of in the ether of NBA Twitter because they're not paying attention. If he's playing for a team that's competing for a title, or a team that's in New York City, you don't think that's going to be front page news every time he runs at a, you know, NYK 12345 fan on Twitter saying that, hey, you're an idiot who doesn't know anything. Like, that's going to be on the back page of the New York Post.
Yeah, but KD was here before, and it
was a problem then.
It was a problem, but he still
did
some nice things for. Yeah, I understand, but I'm not actually. I don't care as much about the Heat and the Knicks for KD because the Knicks would have to give up. The Knicks would have a problem. They would be able to give up too much. The Heat, I don't understand at all because they're not a KD away from a title. That feels like a retirement home for KD because I don't think they'd be contenders.
Maybe that's what he's looking for.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he wants to be the bus driver there because they just don't have enough around him. I think Houston, I do disagree a little bit about their title window because they have a lot of old guys, too. They're not just the young guys.
I mean, besides Fred.
Well, they have Fred. They have Dylan Brooks.
He's
actually
he's a veteran guy, yeah.
He's an effective. Yeah, he's getting a little older than you might think.
Yeah. He's like a 24-year-old rookie, I think.
Last year, they had a bunch of older guys mix in with their young guys, and they could give up Reed Shepard, who they took at number 3 overall, who I don't think they really even need because Amon Thompson is going to be their star. They could maybe give up Jalen Green, who was disappointing in the playoffs. I think they're a little closer, a little more veteran than the Spurs.
Right.
That's interesting about, I think people expect Wemby to take that step. There's a lot of talent there. If you add a KD, you have to admit it's interesting.
No, that's what I said. I like the Spurs. Like, to me, the Spurs and Rockets, those teams make more sense. Like, to me, if you're the Spurs and you could put a trio of De'Aaron Fox, who's an all-star guard, you got Wembanyama, and then you got Kevin Durant, and you're not going to give your entire coffers of young players. You're still going to have guys.
We didn't mention whoever comes in at number 2 and Stephon Castle. Yeah, I don't know that you have to give up Castle. You could give up Vassell, and not to get in the weeds on this trade rumor, but you might be able to keep a lot of those guys.
Like, there's other guys they can give up because they have so many young players. So
and picks,
So the opportunity for the Spurs, to me, that makes the perfect sense. Like, I would definitely take that risk.
And by the way, we'll see how this NBA Finals goes, but what team has more draft capital than anyone? OKC Thunder.
I'll be honest, bro. I watched that game and watched Jalen Williams going 1-on-5 and watched Chet Holmgren falling over the court. And I was like, those two better straighten up, because do not think that we're talking about Kevin Durant. I don't think that's a possibility, but Giannis Antetokounmpo may be out there. Do not think for a second that Sam Presti won't be aggressive if they lose this series and say, you know what, maybe I need to get really aggressive here, and maybe I'll move one of these guys and all these picks and go get Giannis, and now we really can talk about dynasty.
Yeah, no, I think Sam Presti would do that in a heartbeat. I mean, Jalen Williams he's sort of duplicative of SGA in a way. Yeah, he's great, especially when SGA is on the bench, but I'd give him up for a difference maker like that. They also have all these draft picks, which will be really attractive. And they could get in the KD mix if they wanted to. They have better picks than all those other teams we just mentioned.
It just, again, maybe I'm too into the ether of NBA Twitter. It sounds like Kevin Durant still can't stand the Thunder fans.
Yeah, outright. And he didn't want to go back to Golden
State.
There's a lot of animosity.
Yeah. Now, look, I don't know if the Suns are going to do this thing where they're going to just send him where he wants to go, or if they're going to want to get the best offer. But if that becomes a problem where the Suns are saying, hey, where do you want to go? He says, I'm not going to the Thunder. That could be the one thing that put the kibosh on it.
I hear you. This is going to be interesting. I think KD could be the first domino to fall. It could be, according to Shams Charania, the ESPN insider, by the draft, which is about a week after the finals are finally over. So that'll be interesting. I really like these West teams. I'm curious. I keep calling the West a varsity and the East a JV. If you add Kevin Durant to a contender, and if you add Giannis, which seems more up in the air than ever before, it sounds like Giannis might be interested in staying in Milwaukee, and you're going to add the number one pick in Cooper Flagg to Dallas, the number two pick in Dylan Harper, whoever, to San Antonio. I mean, just the flood of talent to the West. It feels like all the guys are going to the West.
Yeah, I mean, KD's in the West, so he's staying.
No, but to a contender in the West.
Right, I mean, but then the Suns become worse. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
No, the bottom of the West is bad. I'll give you that. But the thing is, the East, if all the talent keeps going to the West, will be a lot easier for the Pacers or maybe the Knicks to get back in there, because the Celtics are falling apart. We learned yesterday that the Celtics, everyone except Jason Tatum, are for sale. And Jason Tatum's not even really playing next year because he got hurt so late. So it's going to be very interesting. Aaron Rodgers, we haven't talked about him for an hour and 20 minutes. What's going on here?
Great job, guys.
What are we're losing it here. Aaron Rodgers is a stealer.
Who's producing the show?
Yeah. Wait, I can't believe this. I mean, what's our Aaron Rodgers quota for the day? I know some people are tired of this, but there was a quote from his offensive coordinator that A, made me laugh, and B, I found very, very intriguing from a football standpoint. Actually makes me hopeful for Pittsburgh's offense. That's next, Maggie and Perloff Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right. RIP Brian Wilson, Beach Boys, sadly passed. Musical genius. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie out today. EJ Stewart sitting in the big chair. EJ and Manny, of course, are famously ignorant of old music, but I feel like you know the Beach Boys, right?
Yeah, another one of those that rather tell you guys about that random fourth grade play where I was James Brown.
Yeah, we
had to do like music throughout the history of time, and so a lot of Beach Boys songs.
But you didn't do the Beach Boys.
Well, we all sung in the we all sung all the songs, but
you did the James Brown.
I was the James Brown character in the play. So I had an afro, I was 9 years old, had an afro wig.
EJ Stewart and Chadwick Boseman, you know what they say about those performances.
I literally only had one line the entire play, but I said it multiple times.
Ow!
I feel good. Literally,
I would do
all
anything.
I said. I every question they gave me, that's what I told. That's what I said in the play.
I had to call your parents. I would do anything for a video of this play. That would be amazing. That would be. What do I want for Christmas? I want video of you as James Brown. Do you do the dance?
I did. Like, it wasn't like a long dance, but it'd be like, I feel good.
Yeah.
EJ, can I get that for my birthday, please? Thank you much.
Yeah, send me a, what's that thing? A cameo? Yeah, I'll do a cameo for you.
I just watch
50 bucks.
Paying you?
Do you remember Eddie Murphy doing Getting in the Hot Tub, the James Brown impersonation?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I saw that the other day. And whenever I think of James Brown, I go to Eddie Murphy as James Brown. But Brian Wilson sadly passed away. I've watched a lot of documentaries on the Beach Boys. Really interesting because they push the Beatles. I don't totally get it. Like a lot of like music, people are like, oh man, the Beach Boys are the most brilliant band, but it's a lot of like light surfing music.
Surfing USA is a banger. That was one of the songs that I play.
Kind of interesting. I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers. So we're 2 days into Aaron Rodgers in Steelers minicamp.
Good vibrations in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. There was nothing weird yesterday though. There was no marriage announcement. There was no conspiracy theory. There was no aliens. There was nothing about bioscience. Like, what happened? It was just football yesterday.
Number of days since last weird Aaron Rodgers incident. One.
Yeah.
One. Let's see if we get to two today.
Is he going to be boring in Pittsburgh? I mean, come on. We have to use our sound for the WTF Aaron Rodgers segment. And yesterday was just straight football, including his offense coordinator, Arthur Smith, talking about how they plan to use Aaron Rodgers in their offense this year.
You'd love to be more balanced. You're not obvious, depending on how you want to attack this defense, where you think their strengths weaknesses are. I mean, that's the game. It's played every Sunday. You know, and obviously, as your roster evolves, I mean, obviously, we didn't bring Aaron in here and sign DK for all that money to go run the wishbone. So, you know, you try to play to the strengths of your team.
Here's my problem with that. They didn't have to run the ball all the time last year. They didn't have to run the ball all the time in 2023, and they didn't have to do it in 2022. They went from Matt Canada, who everybody had an issue with in Pittsburgh, to another run-first offensive coordinator in Arthur Smith. And here's the thing. Establishing the run is one thing. You don't run the ball well.
Right.
They were way toward the bottom of the league in yards per carry with Najee Harris. So they have to pass the ball. Obviously, it's easier to pass the ball on first and second down. That's where Aaron Rodgers' numbers would be good. And I hope Arthur Smith follows through on this and actually does open up the offense because it's been too long.
Yeah, they were 26th last year in the NFL in yards per carry, which is putrid, even though they ran the ball, I think, the fourth most times in the NFL, which is insane.
It's so Steelers.
Yeah, I guess the question I have is, you can say all this stuff in, what are we, in June? What happens in October and November? I feel like these play calls often go back to what's comfortable to them. And Arthur Smith can talk a good game right now that they're not going to run the wishbone. But will we be seeing first down run, second round run, third down pass like we've seen from him his entire career? Once they have to get through the mix of the season, I feel like we probably still will see some of that.
Do you know who likes that?
Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin. Exactly. He wants to win 19-13, and that's how you do it. Now, you watch him closely. You're a Jets fan. I feel like he had some big attempt games towards the end of the season. He had some early in the season, but at a certain point they said, all right, Aaron, just drop back and throw short passes all game.
The Jets were a passing team last year. They were near the top of the league when it came to passing attempts. Now, they were down in a lot of games, so some of that maybe has to do with them playing catch-up. Mm-hmm. Their defense was not nearly as good, so they didn't play with a lot of leads. And they also had trouble running the football. It was a very weird season for the Jets in a lot of ways.
Yep.
So I don't know if maybe some of that wasn't necessarily just Rodgers. It could have just been the circumstances of the game and the team. So I think, to be honest, like if they can really truly have a good marriage between the run and the pass, then this thing will probably work okay. I have a lot of questions about, A, what can they actually run the ball with any effectiveness, and B, even if they're not running effectively, will Arthur Smith eventually go back to what he knows? And I think the answer is definitively yes.
For anyone who doesn't remember, Arthur Smith was head coach of the Falcons and was a fantasy team killer by not giving the ball to his premier weapons, Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts. Will he do that in Pittsburgh? He doesn't have that many premier weapons. He's got DK Metcalf and Pat Freiermuth, pretty much. We'll see.
And to me, it was also it's funny because when you think about it, when he was an offensive coordinator in Tennessee, he had Derrick Henry. So he was like, I'm just going to give the ball to Derrick Henry nonstop. Last year, he had Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris, and he still was treating them like they were Derrick Henry combined. Like, he still was like, oh, we're going to run the ball. So it doesn't seem like personnel necessarily impacts him in terms of his play calling.
Well, there are a lot of people like Caleb Johnson, their rookie out of Iowa.
Yeah.
rookie running backs can be effective. Maybe he's the guy. Because Jalen Warren's not really a primary back kind of guy. He's a mix-up kind of back, and he has his moments. And they did bring in DK Metcalf, but their wide receiving core is still mediocre at best. Look at the depth chart. DK Metcalf joined by Calvin Austin. They said yesterday he's their number two. Calvin Austin is not a high-end number two. They have Robert Woods. They have Roman Wilson out of Michigan, who was hurt last year. They just don't have a load of talent at the skill position.
And to be honest, when I think about DK Metcalf, I know you love when I use this term. I don't think of him as a target merchant. He's more of like a big play guy. So when you talk about the volume of throws, I think what you'll see is similar to what you kind of did see in Tennessee, where, remember, it was Derrick Henry, and then bombed to A.J. Brown. Like, that's how the Tennessee Titans beat you. I think they kind of do something. They're going to do something similar this year, where it's going to be run the football, and Aaron Rodgers throw the ball deep to DK Metcalf. I don't know if they have the receiving depth to throw the ball 35 times a game. They might not have the pieces, which is kind of why I know people were, you know, saying, gotta get George Pickens out of there. I would have liked to have seen they could have made that work. Because I do think if you had Pickens and DK Metcalf, then you got Roman Wilson as a slot, I feel like, okay, now we can have more of a complete passing game. Now it feels like it's going to be a little bit of DK or bust.
Well, Pickens had a lot of bad drops last year.
True.
Pickens did not play well. That was kind of lost in all the George Pickens. Has a lot of talent. Makes these crazy 50-50 plays, but he will drop the football and then he'll complain about targets.
And give you a 15-yard penalty.
Also, the thing with the Steelers, they got to keep their defense healthy. They got to keep Highsmith and Watt coming at you. Those guys wore down last year. So there's a lot going on in Pittsburgh. All right, let's get the headlines. Andrew Bogus, what do you got?
Guys, however you want to break down the blame, the Thunder committed 19 turnovers in Game 3 of the NBA Finals last night, leading to 21 Pacer points, helping lead to a 116-107 Indy win and a 2-1 series lead. Mark Daigneault's team averaged a league-low 11.7 giveaways per game during the regular season.
The turnovers were uncharacteristic. Obviously, we're usually pretty clean there. I give them credit. I thought they played really well. They played with great energy. They were physical. They pressured. They sustained it for much of the 48.
Even with the sloppy play, OKC was ahead a few minutes into the fourth quarter, but eventually got outscored by 14 in those final 12 minutes, missing 11 of 17 shots.
In the fourth quarter, I just thought they really outplayed us on both ends. I thought they were in character in terms of their physicality, their pressure on defense, and then they were in character in terms of their pace on offense, and they just stacked way more, you know, quality possessions in the fourth quarter than we did.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander managed to take just three shots in that fourth, hitting one of them. He finished with 24 points after breaking 30 in each of the first two games. He also had six of those 19 turnovers. Tyrese Haliburton, meanwhile, had his best game of the finals, 21 points and 11 assists. And Benedict Mathurin outscored the Thunder bench by himself with 27 points in 22 minutes.
Is this the NBA Finals with the most impactful Canadians ever?
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. Like, I'm like, and I keep hearing these interviews, I'm like, oh, there's another brother with a Canadian accent. It's like Mathurin, Nemhard, Shea, Dort. I'm like, this is basically, you know, I'm still talking about a USA versus world NBA All-Star game. He's got it in the NBA Finals.
I've been waiting for that. I'm Team Canada basketball fan for a long time. And you know,
like 18 months, right?
No. I was like 3 years ago. I was talking, but this was one of this is a total pearl off take that the Canadian team is going to be good. Because I have all these friends in Canada. Don't ask why. They've been telling me, oh, we got a lot of basketball here. Mathurin's from Montreal, and the rest of the guys are from Toronto. Help me out with that one. So there's a Montreal basketball scene, too? They talked about that last night a little bit.
Isn't Dort from Quebec as well?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I think Dort is also from Quebec. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's mostly been Toronto, but you will get some BC guys, too. Gonzaga's recruited a bunch of BC guys as well. You know, British Columbia, Vancouver area has some good ball.
Where's Kelly Olynyk from?
He's from British Columbia.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Wait. Who are the BC guys? Because I feel like they all came up in Toronto.
Kelly Olynyk is one. I know he didn't make the NBA, but Kevin Pangos had a cup of coffee.
You're a Gonzaga fan. So.
So there are some guys.
Yeah, but it's not like this army of talent coming from Toronto.
I'm not saying it was. There are other places where there are good Canadian basketball players.
My narrative is that they all watched Vince Carter as a kid and wanted to play basketball. Is that true or am I
making that up? No, it's 100% right. No, they say that. A big reason why you've seen the explosion of Canadian basketball, especially in Toronto, because you're right, it is more than Vancouver, is because the Raptors got really good and Vince Carter was an icon. And a lot of kids wanted to then go play basketball. And now you're seeing great, great players coming out of Canada every year. Every year you're going to have a guy drafted probably in the lottery or in the first round from Canada. Multiple guys probably.
Okay, so we'll see what other players have been in the finals. So Jamal Murray, Canadian, actually won a finals. Yep. You could argue that. Obviously, has Dylan Brooks... never been to the finals. He's had a lot of playoff games. Andrew Wiggins, obviously, he's won a playoff. He's like the OG Canadian guy.
Yeah, he
forgot he was there.
Steve Nash is from British Columbia.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Steve Nash, yeah, but he never really won anything.
Some double MVPs.
Right. Kind of good, though.
Nickeil Alexander-Walker, of course, grew up with SGA.
Didn't know that.
Two Western Conference finals.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
fact.
So...
Brandon Clark, also from British Columbia, the Memphis Grizzlies.
So we're going to have at least, how many, we got, who are the, you got Nembhard, and you got Lu Dort, and SGA, is there, who else? Is
that Mathurin.
And Mathurin, so you got four guys. So we're going to have a bunch of Canadian winners. Yeah, but that being said, they still don't seem like a dangerous Olympic team. They were not impressing me last year. I was all into them. I think I picked them.
Well, they were undefeated until they lost. They lost to France.
Most teams are.
Yeah. I mean, they're undefeated in the tournament.
I know.
Until they lost. whenever they lost the quarterfinal or whatever. But I mean, they were what, bronze medalists in the World Cup? So I think they're going to be dangerous. They're probably the second best team in the world.
Yeah, I feel like those older European teams, like, they got to get mature and older. Look better. Anyway, I'm not going to break down the international basketball scene. Aww. My favorite, the best dunk.
I was
dunk,
doing it, though.
The best dunk, and you know who my guy is, Shaedon Sharpe, because that dunk he had during the season where his head was about a foot over the rim.
Perloff, what do you think R.J. Barrett's role will be with the Canadian national team?
Yeah. Now, R.J. Barrett, he's 6'8 or 6'9. How tall is he? 6'7?
6'7.
He has like four dunks in his entire life.
Oh,
he's such a tall guy under the rim. Ah, oh, not at all.
He has some nice left-handed power.
Oh yeah, he put some dudes on a poster when he was wearing blue and orange. Yeah. I digress.
I'm gonna look up the dunk numbers on R.J. Barrett. Oh my god!
You want to give a dunk highlight? Part of me is like, should I get into this? But remember, we had a conversation about Jeff Teague, and I was like, Jeff Teague in Wake Forest is a great athlete. Like, no, he wasn't. And I sent you a video of like 10 Jeff Teague
wasn't a good player.
Posters. No, I also said he was a great dunker. You were like, he wasn't a dunker.
Was he in the slam dunk contest?
No, but I said in Wake Forest, he can dunk on people. You were like, believe that. And I sent you a video that you did not respond to, by the way. That hurt my feelings.
So. She didn't even watch it.
How many dunks does SGA have?
He's not a dunker.
God, it's amazing. He is. I think that's one of the reasons. I don't buy the small market stuff. I think SGA not dunking the ball is going to hurt the NBA ratings. Like, somebody throw one down. All right, back to you, folks.
The U.S. Open at Oakmont is underway, kind of. Maxwell Moldovan. He's new to me. Who? That might be his last name. He has the very early lead, an eagle two on the opening hole.
Oh,
one
nice.
Shot clear of three golfers here very early on.
Bryson, so much for this tough course.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau is on his first hole. Rory McIlroy about to tee off. It happened again last night in Colorado.
1-2 pitch. He swings, bounces one right side, and that's through into right center. Here comes Ramos around third. He'll score without a throw. The Giants' 10th run of the night. Another RBI for Yastrzemski.
Nico lost money off of that game.
As heard on Giants radio, San Francisco scoring 7 times over its last 2 at-bats for a second straight come-from-behind win over those Rockies. This time, the final 10-7. San Francisco's win streak is now 7. The Orioles thumped the Tigers 10-1. The Astros took care of the White Sox 10-2. And the Yankees, 6-3 winners in KC. Aaron Judge went deep for the third game in a row.
Fourth in 3 games, too.
The Raiders are reportedly adding veteran linebacker Jermaine Pratt shortly after Cincy released him. And from the WNBA last night, the Lynx were undefeated until they lost. 9-1 now on the year, 94-84 in Seattle last night. Guys, back to you.
All right.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You, folks.
I was the only one that caught it.
I appreciate it. I'll take 1 for 4.
No, I understand. I mean, EJ's math was spot on, though. Like, spot the lie.
Boy math.
Okay. Believe me. Again, I'm going to pin you here. Are you picking Canada to win the next gold medal in the Olympic basketball?
Y'all see what he's doing, right?
Well,
I'm not the only one here. I feel like Jim Halpert sometimes. When he asks me questions, I got to look around. I'm like, everybody see what
I'm
doing?
No, no. I feel like here's the
bottom line. You started this by saying you're a fan of Canadian basketball.
You should be picking them.
They let me down this year. They burned me. They're going to have to earn my trust back. But I do feel like you're like, well,
you should
know
have
what?
To earn your passport back after backing them in the Olympics.
I feel like you guys say I flip-flop, but EJ comes in and says the Knicks have no chance against the Celtics, and they win game one or whatever, and he's like, yep,
or whatever.
Call that. Then he's like,
not true. Yeah. Not true. Did not happen. Did not happen. I said job not finished after game one and two, and then he was like, why aren't you picking them? I'm like, job not finished. I'm waiting until the series is over.
He picks the Thunder in six over the Pacers, and then I come in and say, man, I'm shocked that the Pacers won that game. He's like, nope, I saw that coming.
Well, because when I said it was going to be at least a six-game series, you said no.
I said five.
This before the final was even set, by the way. This is the T-Wolves and the Thunder are playing. The Knicks and the Pacers are saying, you're saying, look, when the Thunder get through with the T-Wolves, they're going to smack the Eastern Conference. I said, that's not going to happen. I didn't even know who they're going to play. I said, it's going to be at least a six-game series.
Okay. Anyway, I was surprised. EJ was not surprised at all by what happened last night.
How could he be surprised by something that I said was going to happen? I don't understand.
Said what was going to happen?
That was going to be a six-game series.
Right, but you were not surprised by how that game went down last night?
No, Andrea asked me before who he's going to win tonight. I said, I got Pacers.
Mm-hmm. Did you say it on the Maggie and Perloff show yesterday?
No, nobody asked. Is it true or not true, guys?
I don't know. I don't know that you did earn this victory lap today. But anyway,
okay.
You think you did? You're like, I called that one.
Because you told Andrea. The clips are on.
You told your fiance that they were going to win, and you're coming in here bragging about how you called it. I told my tortoise.
Clips on social media. This is going to be a 5-game series or a sweep. I said no. I said a bunch of times, this is going to be a good series, tough series. East is not a JV league. I mean, you think you have a victory lap today? You're the one who's saying that.
I don't think I have a victory lap. But I didn't come in and say.
They weren't combating you on that.
I just need to hear the takes before the game, not after the game.
What part of it's going to be a 6-game series in the NBA Finals is not a take?
Who's winning game four, Mr. Genius?
I said Thunder. I said it already.
Okay. Well, that's easy. They're favorites, right? What's the spread on that one?
I told my tortoise.
I mean, honestly, I told my fiance we're going to win the game. Like, this is a national sports talk radio show. That is weak, dude. That is weak.
It's weak. What do you mean it's weak? You're the one who said
it's so
weak.
You're bragging about telling your fiance before the game.
You asked me what I thought was going to happen. I told you what I said. I don't know what you like. Want me to lie? Like, what do you want me to say?
No, I do not.
You want me to just not tell you what happened?
Were you on mic yesterday during the show?
Yeah.
You have plenty of opportunities to say
Did we even talk Pacers Thunder yesterday? I don't think we did.
All right.
All right. Yeah. Look at that rundown yesterday. I made it. Did you see Pacers Thunder on there? I don't think you do.
Really? Did you remember? Let me get my tortoise on because I told him that the Panthers were going to beat the Oilers in game three. Yeah. Give me a break. All right. Coming up next.
Don't make me call my fiance. She'll get on the air.
I'd love to hear what she says. All right. Coming up next, we're going to have an update on Deion Sanders. Looks like things are looking up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up.
Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Colorado. That's next. Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, EJ. EJ yes. Sitting in for Maggie today, Maggie and Perloff Show. So, no surprise, Saquon Barkley jumped to the top of another list. Didn't jump to the top of the MVP last year, which could have happened. He was the most marketable player in the NFL, topped the NFLPA sales list, which they put together every year. Saquon 1, Patrick Mahomes 2, Jalen Hurts of the Eagles 3, Jaden Daniels 4, and CJ Stroud 5. Not a big surprise. A lot of the newer guys are at the top of the sales list because you don't have their jersey yet. Like, I mean, most people have an Aaron Rodgers or a Patrick Mahomes jersey. I mean, Mahomes is sticky at 2. Josh Allen was 6 on here. So here's my question for you, EJ.
Yep.
Saquon Barkley, now everyone in Philly's got their Barkley jersey. Who is next year's surprise number one most marketable guy?
Well, I think number one, you're going to see Jaden Daniels go from 4-1.
Okay,
I think he becomes the guy.
Do they have to win?
I think they will. Yeah, they have to, but I think they will. I think they're going to be, maybe not, like, I don't know if they're going to win that. I mean, they won 10 last year. Like, they'll probably win something around there. But I think he's going to be another explosive superstar athlete. He's going to get more national TV games. I think there's going to be a lot more attention on him. I think the one thing you were asking me before, though, is going to be if someone jumps into this list, who's it going to be? I know you have a guy. I hope it's not the same guy as me. The first guy I thought was Ashton Jeanty. Because what I think about is explosive playability, youth, and team. Raider gear is extremely popular. They don't have any players really to get on this list, and they're a really bad team. But if the Raiders are good, you don't think that people are going to want that black and silver Jeanty jerseys? I mean, that's going to be a top of all kids' Christmas list if he's a 1,500-yard back as a rookie, which I think is actually possible considering the kind of team they have. So he'd be a guy that if you want to see a guy who's going to jump up into this top five out of nowhere, I'd take a rookie, and Jeanty would be my first pick.
Okay. This guy who I have jumping up was number 20 this year, which shocks me because he should be top five to me. I still think, and a lot of my friends think, Jahmyr Gibbs is the most exciting player in the NFL, the Lions running back. No, he cuts like Barry Sanders. He's strong. He's fast. Now, he shares carries in that backfield because I think they worry about his durability.
Yeah.
But if the Lions are good this year, they lost Ben Johnson. Their defense was all injured last year. I think Jahmyr Gibbs' stardom just goes up and up, and I think people start to feature him because, to me, he's the highlight player of the NFL. There's a few players who just move differently to me, and I'm not saying he's as great as him, but when Randy Moss came to the NFL, like, oh, that guy moves different.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders completely moved differently. To me, Saquon was a little bit like that. When he would break one, it was different, but the cuts for Jahmyr Gibbs are just so insane. Last year, there was a social media post where he had a long touchdown run and they put it to video game music.
Yeah.
He is like a video game creation to me. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is, if the Lions don't take a major step back, possible. But if they're good again, I think Jahmyr Gibbs should be much more marketable. I'm surprised he was 20 this year.
I'll be honest. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is super exciting. I love watching him play. I like watching the Lions play. Outside of, like, I think us NFL nerds, I don't know very much children, but I don't feel like he's really, like, breaking through in that way. Like, I don't feel like when I walk around New York City, like, one thing about kids is that you'll see kids in all different kinds of jerseys. It's not going to be just Jets and Giants because kids, you know, young, you kind of like all players.
Yep.
And I don't, like, see kids in Jahmyr Gibbs jerseys. They're really Lions jerseys. I don't know if they've cracked through in that way for young people.
Hutchinson is 7 on this list,
right,
and Amon Ross St. Brown is 8. Now, St. Brown seems to be having some health issues. I don't totally get it because Gibbs was part of a platoon, too. I mean,
right.
David Montgomery. I just think that you saw last year, they're like, well, this is the best guy on the field. We're going to make sure he touches it more. So we'll see also, will that offense still be good without their coach? You know, people forget this Aiden Hutchinson, if he didn't get hurt last year.
He was a defense player of the year.
Yeah, he was a defensive player of the year. And I think the Lions might have been a much stronger contender to win the whole thing.
I think they would have been in the Super Bowl. I love the Eagles.
I think so. I mean, they lost Aiden McNeil, too, who's their second best defensive player.
Yeah, and he's
they had a lot of injuries back and forth. But if Aiden Hutchinson is back and plays like himself, then I don't think the Lions fall off. But a lot of people are pointing off as the team that might take a step back is the Detroit Lions. If they take a step forward, then I'm buying the Jameer Gibbs jersey. And I shouldn't be out there shilling for the dude, but I think, he's pretty exciting. You know who, Lamar Jackson's 18 on this list. That strikes me as odd because he should be kind of right there with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, perennial top 10. Why do people not buy the Jackson jersey?
I'll be honest. I think what he's done is become a little bit taken for granted. It's a little ho-hum. Like, I think, you know, he's a veteran now. We've seen this before. He hasn't quite cracked through in the playoffs. I don't know if he's really attracting new fans with how he plays.
All right, coming up, we're back to the Mount Olympus, four sports gods of every major sports city. We have the perfect one, Indianapolis, coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.